Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings. For the good of all, Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Monday, June 2nd, 2008. This is episode 65, entitled, oh wait, we didn't get a title. And this is a brilliant year.
Entitled, oh wait.
That's going to be the name of the show. Oh wait, we didn't get a title.
Okay.
All right. And my with me, as you heard, is my co-host, Asheo. Good morning, Asheo.
Good morning, Aprilian. How you doing this fine Monday morning for you? Monday night for me.
Excellent. Let's get started.
How will this benefit me?
Yep, it is Monday morning, really early, but like you said, Monday night for you. And it's been a busy week this week. How about you?
It's one of those weeks where I felt like I haven't really played a lot, but have done a lot. I didn't get to play much on the weekend, but I'm still, you know, having a look over what I achieved, and it's like, wow, I achieved quite a lot this week.
Yeah, I think I had almost the same kind of feeling. So we're going to first talk about some things I thought we'd do differently this week. And one of the things I want to try is at the end of the episode, we're going to talk about things that we might be talking about next week. That way, if any of the listeners want to participate or comment on next week's in next week's podcast, they can know what we're going to be talking about. What do you think of that?
Proactive. Well, that's going to put the pressure on actually thinking a week ahead, but yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice. So, of course, we're going to start out with what we've been doing. Did you want to go first?
Yeah, okay. I'll go first this week. So, started off, well, not started off the week, but early on in the week, full extended maintenance from Blizzard. No Tuesday night WoW for me. I'm sure they've got it in for me. But nonetheless, like I said, it did feel like I achieved a lot this week. I'm determined to get out and play with my mages a bit more, so I've put on another level and a half or so with them. Not as much as what I'd hoped to, but I'm slowly getting the hang of it. It's more about the crowd control than you know, when you don't have enough firepower to kill a mob, you know, in two hits as they're running towards you, and getting the crowd control down a bit better. So I went out and in Ghostlands, the Knuckle Rot and Luzran quest, you know, those big elite dudes that wander around.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll have a go at them, and I got them down.
Come on.
One of the mages died on Luzran right at the end, but I got them both down, and lots of keyboard mashing, and you know, doesn't really feel as comfortable anywhere near as the dual boxing with the other two pairs that I've been doing, but I'm getting there. So.
What's funny about practice. That? That's where we first met, when we were bringing down Knuckle Rock.
That's right.
Luzran.
Yep. I was slightly higher level then, though. trying to take down a level 21 elite with two level 20 squishies is harder than what I thought it would be.
How's Key Clone doing?
But, getting there.
How's Key Clone doing?
Yeah, well, that's really what I've got to come to grips with. I think I might try. What I'm thinking I might actually try to do, rather than look at them as two, equally capable tunes, I might actually look at them as, you know, having the main lead tune and just like, you know, backup firepower. So I'll actually play the lead tune as I normally would, with, you know, a lot more mouse clicking to cast spells and things than keyboard mashing. And basically just use the backup tune as extra firepower to get things down quicker, and I'll see how that goes. I'll give that a try.
So that's basically what we do with our regular dual boxing. One is the lead and one is like a backup, or, you know, the, not the after effect, but kind of the backup.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're trying to do two at the same time, it's kind of different. I've gotten a lot of questions this week, PSTs. In-game, for people asking me about various programs that I might use. And I think,
right.
You know, I basically just go free-for-all, playing each character individually and shifting back and forth as opposed to using the actual program. But Keyclone is the basic one out there, right? Or is there something else?
Well, I haven't found anything else. Okay. No, I haven't found anything else that does anything like it. So, yeah, I don't think there really is much else to choose from. So, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's not what I expected, but yeah, it's not what I expected. But you know, I can understand the constraints that you've got on it. Having tried it, even more kudos to those guys that, you know, have been out there and five man stuff. I can't see how they do it. That's just crazy. So. I guess it's just like anything, you know, practice.
Yeah, and for those who think...
practice anything long enough and you get good at it.
And I just wanted to add, for those who think that it's going to be easy just adapting the program and dual boxing, it sounds to me like it's not as simple as it seems.
No, it's not. So I've had preconceptions about the power that it would bring, even after playing with it for a bit, I still feel like I've got more flexibility and control over what my turns are doing by operating them individually. And I mean, that's fine for two. I mean, I couldn't possibly do that for three, four, or five. But it's harder than what I thought it was going to be. But anyway. What else have I been doing? Ashaya has been raiding. Been in just earlier this evening and last week as well. Back in Serpent Shrine Cavern and took down Lurker two weeks in a row now. So
congrats! Pretty
good at that. Still no purple Warlock loving. But that's all right. It's fun just to get those tough mobs down. And I've pretty much decided that we've got Gruul's on farm status, because this week's attempt on Gruul was we were kind of just standing around inside getting ready to start him up, and someone accidentally aggroed him, and we kind of stood there and went, what do we do? Suppose we better start fighting him. And so we actually took him down one shot from a moose pull. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, very.
Because there's no, like a lot of bosses, you can reset them by running out, but on Gruul you can't. So it was either wipe or try it, and we tried it, and I mean, you know, we lost a couple of people straight off the bat because he just comes over and whacks people. But we got him down, so that's good.
Excellent.
And I've actually done a lot more instancing this week than a usual week. I've actually took Jekyll into Heroic Alcatraz and helped heal a group in there. I got the good end of the deal because that actually cleared a lot of the trash and the healer had to leave, so then they summoned me in afterwards. I didn't have to spend all that long in there and got my badges and got some practice healing a Heroic instance. It's all about gear. I mean, the tank that we had was a paladin tank in the guild, and he's something for a shield to aspire to, because he made healing pretty easy. He's held aggro really well, and It wasn't taking massive amounts of damage in bursts, which is really problematic for a druid healer that mainly heals with heals over times rather than big bursty heals. And a tip for noobs, I felt like a noob because it was the second time that I've done it now. They tried to summon me into the instance and it would fail. It's like, I don't know what the actual error was, but they couldn't summon me. And it was because I hadn't bought in order to do heroic instances, you need to buy the appropriate key off the quartermaster. And I hadn't bought it for the Alcatraz instance. So it doesn't say anything sensible like, hey, that player hasn't bought his key. It just fails with some weird error.
What a bummer. Yeah.
So I just ran down to the I think it was Lower City and bought my key and got summoned. So that was pretty good. And another trick that I've been meaning to try and finally got around to it this week. Asheo actually went into Zulaman, the ZA that got added in.
Ghostlands.
What was it? Was it 2.2 or 2.3? Yeah, it's in the Ghostlands. I forget which. Yeah. So there's a quest that you get that Grifter gives you in Lower City to head out there to talk to somebody and you speak to them and they go, head into there
Grifter,
and get
wait
my
a
map and
wait
end
a minute.
Up.
Let's back up. Grifter, the guy that sells those phony things. Oh, so he does have a purpose.
Yeah.
I wonder if he always.
He's got a quest.
I wonder if he always had a quest, because remember he got banished to the outside of.
Well, no, Shad? So I think when he came back in was when ZA got added and
right,
they gave
and then
him
he
a
got
quest.
The quest. Okay, gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. So because Asheo had been into ZA and saved at the instance, I could actually, in dual boxing, invite Hyde to my group, and then Hyde could go in. And because the group had actually cleared out the first boss, he could actually get in there and get the quest item for this 20-slot bag. It's a 20-slot tattered hex cloth sack.
Wow.
And then once Hyde was in, he invited Jekyll, and Jekyll flew over and waltzed on in and picked up his 20-slot bag. So if you've got people in your guild that have downed the first boss in ZA, then basically it's a free 20-slot bag for anybody that you feel like letting into the instance.
And it's just a regular 20-slot bag? It's not a particular one?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
just
awesome.
Stick anything in it. Yep. So that's pretty
good.
And
it's a sack.
I'm not sure whether you need to be... It's a sack, that's right. Hex cloth sack. I'm not sure whether you need to be level... I imagine you need to be level 70 to get it. I know I sent my level 68 priest down there and she couldn't get it, so it's at least 69, but probably 70, which makes sense because, I mean, it's, ZA, you need to be pretty much... Kara geared in order to make much progress in there. The bosses in there hit pretty hard. And finally, when I say finally, this is probably the biggest part of my week. A shield and a shield out in the Grand, finishing up all the quests in the Grand.
And for those listeners who aren't following, a shield is your priest. What
a
level?
Shield. Is the priest? She was 68. They were both 67 rather. They were both 67 early in the week when I was out in the Grand. And by the time I finished all this, they both hit 68
and
wrapped up in the
shield.
Grand. And they're now out in Blade's Edge. A shield is my pally tank.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're a tough pair. I'm really impressed with them. There's a I'm not sure whether it's a three-man group quest or four. There's in the Grand, there's a couple of quests like that. There's Garok the Usurper, who you need to collect some skulls and summon. And I basically took him down on my own, which was quite easily as well. It's not like I was struggling to keep the pally alive. So I got cocky and went over and tried soloing this other elite in he's actually in Terrakar, Levixus, the Soul Caller. So I thought I'll go and try him because I know he's a pretty tough fight, but he whipped me. He whipped my butt.
Okay, now where is Soul Caller again? In the Grand?
So in the Grand, in Terrakar Forest, in the middle of Terrakar Forest, there's Orchidon. I'm not sure how you Americans pronounce it. You're not going to understand what I say if I say it in my Australian accent. But in the middle of Terrakar Forest, there's four instances. And to the south of that, there's a elite mob called Levixus, the Soul Caller. And he's part of a quest line that I was doing in the Grand. And you want to do him as well because he gives, having killed him, you get a quest to kill one of the guys in Alchanai Crypts, which is where I was heading. So I thought I'll go and try and solo him, and I started tanking him had plenty of aggro on him. Only problem is he not only summons elementals, which I probably could have survived through by healing, but he mind controls as well. So he mind controlled my priest, and my priest started attacking me. So that didn't go so well.
What level is he?
No. He's only 67, but it's not so much his level. It's the fact that he summons elementals to help him, and he mind controls someone in your party. So two people aren't really enough. You really need a third person. So you've got the tank and something else battering on him as well. But anyway, what I was actually trying to achieve was to complete a quest line that I'd never actually completed in the Grand. And it's the Great Mother Gaia, or Gia. She's in Garadar in the Grand. And it starts with the quest, A Visit with the Great Mother. But on Ashayo and on Jekyll and Hyde, she'd never offered me this quest, and I never really looked into what it was that I had to do. I think I'm in two minds about the whole prerequisite in quest chains. I mean, if you're in an area and you want to do a whole bunch of quests, and there's all these prerequisite quests that you don't really know about, in order that you have to complete before it offers you some other unrelated quest. I mean, I can see good side and bad side of that. And in this case, it was bad because I couldn't figure out what quest I hadn't done that I had to do to open up this quest line. But I think I figured it out, and I'll put them in the show notes. So basically, there's three quest lines that you need to complete before you can start this chain. And one of them was an escort quest in Sunspring Village, and I'm notorious for avoiding escort quests. Because generally, when you're soloing, it means wipage. But when you're dual boxing, it's a lot easier. So I eventually got this Great Mother quest, part of the quest line involves going into the Alchanai Crypts to kill Exarch Maladar. He's the last boss in that instance. Another tip for noobs, and I did it once, and sadly it was the second time around that I forgot to do it. The first time I actually remembered. When you kill him, there's an NPC that spawns near his body. It's one of those crystal beings, like a Dal, in the middle of Shadrath.
Right.
So you kill him, and rather than having to go back to Nagrand to hand the quest in like you do for 99% of quests, the hand-in is actually an NPC that spawns after you kill him, and you have to hand the quest in to them.
Oh, how convenient.
So, if you kill the boss but if you kill the boss and go, okay, I'm finished now and hearth out, bad luck. You've got to do the whole instance again to get back in to hand in your quest. And not only that, if you are on the ball and hand in your quest, the follow-up quest that same NPC gives you It's like, you know, I go back to Nagrand and kill these 15 of these dudes. But in order to kill them, you need a soul mirror. And the soul mirror is actually an item that you pick up in the instance. It also, I'm not sure if it was always there, but it kind of spawns hovering, and it's a cog thing that you click next to the boss.
So you have to pay attention.
It's kind of a bit tricky because you got to be paying attention, because normally it's like, you know, you kill a boss and you hearth out and that's it, or maybe you kill the boss and you pick up a quest item off his body. This one is quite different. You talk to an NPC in there, and when you get the next quest, you know, turn around and actually pick up a quest item that's actually in the instance. It's just right there. You don't have to kill anything else to pick it up. So I did that on the pally, and then later that night I went in and you know, it's like talk about doing instances. I did Crips twice in one night, and it was like, you know, this is like the fifth instance I've done in the week. Usually I only do one or two, and I completely forgot on a shield. I'm a priest. I went back in there, did the whole instance, you know, killed him. I actually remembered to talk to the NPC, but I forgot to pick up the quest item. So I'm going to have to do it again at some stage and pick up quest items so I can actually complete it on the priest. But it's a great quest line because so I had to go back to Nagrand. The quest is actually to kill 15 elites. In Nagrand, there's these neutral kind of spirits that walk the roads.
Okay.
And you actually use the quest item on them, and a red elite spawns out of it that you need to kill. And that was supposed to be a three-man group quest as well, but sold it pretty easily on the priest and the paladin. And thankfully, the priest actually got, because the paladin had the quest item to actually spawn them, the priest got all the credit for the actual kills. So all I've got to actually do on my priest is go back in and pick up the soul mirror. I don't have to kill all 15 again, thank God. And completing that quest line, it's particularly good for melee because you actually get two blue pieces out of it. You get a blue neck piece that's got stamina and a bunch of other buffs on it, and another piece as well. And I got some plate legs.
Oh, cool.
So you've got to go through a fair amount of effort to complete the quest line, but you get good rewards out of it. And to top it off, it's one of the few quests where I stopped around to watch the show, because the great mother is actually Thrall's grandson. And part of the quest line at the end is just a lot of flying around. You've actually got
the
great mother in the grand. It's Thrall's grandmother.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So you have to actually go and tell Thrall that, you know, hey, there's this stuff going on in the Grand, and Thrall actually comes to the Grand, and there's this whole, I'm not sure what the word is, but I'll say cinematic, but it's not. It's actually, you know, Thrall walks in and starts talking to the NPCs there, and there's this whole storyline that goes on. At the end of it all the Horde players get a nice 1 hour buff.
So you have to go.
So not only do you get, you know.
Isn't Thrall in Orgrimmar?
Yeah. You have to go to Orgrimmar and speak to Thrall, and then he goes, okay, I'll head back to Grand and tell him I'm coming. And so you head back to the Grand, and yeah, Thrall turns up in the Grand.
How cool is that?
I've been wanting to do it, and I was going to do it on, I actually got most of the way through it on Jekyll and Hyde, but this is the first time I've actually completed it, and having done so, I got a nice 1 hour buff and Ding 68 and headed off to Blade's Edge.
Oh wow, well,
which they're now sitting. So it's been pretty full on. What about yourself? Anything exciting as that?
No, not as
complete
exciting.
Any quest lines that you wanted to get done?
As that, but I had a very, very full week. I'm going to pause for a second.
I'm always on the winning side.
Okay, so what I've been doing. Oh my goodness, what a week. Sunday, I spent a lot of money leveling up Aprillian. She's tailoring.
On your tailoring?
Yes. I got obsessed with getting her to 375 because I wanted to be able to make imbued netherweave bags. And it was so crazy because, you know, once I got to the point where I could make them, primal moon cloth is just very expensive. But anyways, I'm ahead of myself. So I ended up having to go over to my Alliance auction house and get a bunch of stuff. Because netherweave, I think we talked about this last week. Netherweave was so cheap on the auction house for the Alliance. It was like 2 to 3 G for a stack, where it was like 5 or 6 on the. And I managed to get that, and then I had to get a bunch of arcane dust. Because I guess once you get up to like 365, there's like only one or two things that will get you any leveling points, unless you get some really expensive recipes. It was the imbued netherweave tunic, and I made a bunch of
which you can't give away.
Oh right, but I DE'd them, and I got Nexus crystals. And large prismatic shard, I want to say, and put them on the auction house and made some money off of them.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Yep, that's probably the only way to make money out of it.
Yep. And
That was the other thing that I did this week, wasn't it? I had to hassle Aprillian and a couple of other guildies had actually been accumulating in my mail and bouncing back and forwards on the 30-day limit, and it was like I had a few hours to go, and I thought I've got to get this stuff DE'd. So I hassled Aprillian to get on her enchanter and DE. Basically, what it was all the level 68 gear that I'd got from doing the dailies. I just anything that looked like it didn't sell, I just accumulated in my mail.
And
I'll tell you what, that's did I tell you how much I got out of it?
No.
It was just from that the stuff that you and a couple of other enchanters DE'd for me from the dailies. I got 30 stacks of arcane dust.
Wow.
A whole bunch of other shards and stuff. So I've got lots of materials now to be making all my imbued netherweave for when I get around to levering up tailoring.
Well, you know, it's really no problem at all. In fact, I encourage anybody to find a high level enchanter to DE your stuff, because I like it. And I love seeing what actually comes out when you DE. You know, you put the little hand on the object and it starts to DE. And then, ooh, arcane dusk or greater planner, whatever. The funniest thing is that if you have stuff, the hardest thing is to remember what you already had, you know. And I don't know if anyone else knows this. If you're getting someone to DE your stuff, get into a group with them, because you can actually see what they end up with. And that way you don't have to worry that they might, you know, not tell you exactly what they got out of the DE. Of course, that doesn't apply to the guild, because we're pretty trustworthy. But the other thing is...
Yeah, no, it's more as a disenchant, and I have the same issue as a jewel crafter when I prospect ore for people. It's like... I basically need to make sure that I don't have any gems or anything in my bags, because it just all combines together, and I've actually got to go back through the logs and go, okay, well, what did it actually prospect out into? And it's the same thing with disenchanting.
Yeah, sometimes I'll just go and put my bag away, and then my enchanting bag, and then that way I don't have any shards or what have you. And I know exactly what you got. Otherwise, I just pay attention and I split the stacks when I see each time I DE something. But it's great to be able to do that, you know. And it's a great way to make money, because it's taking something that you would normally sell for the vendor price and making it more valuable. Yeah, so DEing can be profitable and fun. So, you know, if you are leveling up, just think about that. Look for an enchanter to sell your imbued netherweave tunics before you sell them to a vendor. Because, you know, with anything that you level up a skill with, the AH is probably going to be flooded with it. Okay, so after we did that.
For sure.
Yeah. After I did that, or while I was in the middle of doing all of that, I triple boxed Aprilian, Trishel, and Aunt Rilia in Outland. And I found that I really needed a Skinner. Again, I got that silly thing where I hate leaving corpses laying around that could be skinned. You don't have a Skinner, do you? Oh, yeah. No, you don't. Yes, you do.
Yeah. A shield. The priest is a Skinner. She's a strange combination. She's actually a Skinner tailor.
Oh, cool. She's a double crafter. So, as opposed to being a crafter gatherer. So, I did a silly thing. I transferred Real Fire over to another account. This is like the third time I've transferred her to. It was either that or level up Audrion 16 levels. You know, and I just didn't want to go through that again. So, and it works out fine. So on Tuesday, I transferred Real Fire over, and it's so quick and easy. I mean, you know, they tell you an hour wait or whatever, but it just almost goes automatically. And so now I have Aprilian with two hunters. And I guess she had two hunters before, but two hunters that are higher than her. So Real Fire is level 60. And it worked out great. We were out in Outland, and except, you know, when you start triple boxing with different characters, you have to kind of get in the groove.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't very comfortable with doing the 58. We started out and we did some quests, but Aprilian kept dying. It's like a rhythm. Once you get the rhythm down and you can get the mobs, it works out a lot better. But we were having problems. I was having problems.
You shouldn't really have any excuse for Aprilian dying. You've got your all three of them have got tank pets that should be holding aggro. How did you manage to die?
Because I hadn't gotten my, you know, there's a certain, like I said, rhythm where I have to go back and forth, and if I miss somebody and I'm not paying attention, if I go over and hit a button for what I thought was going to be the warlock and I hit the hunter button and I'm...
Okay.
The dots for the warlock were like on 5 and 8 or something, and the thing for the hunter, those couple of those were close quarter hitting, which is funny. If you tell the hunter, if you accidentally hit one of the close ones, you know, I want to say 2 and 5, but of course that doesn't mean anything to anybody. what's that? Tendon rip? No, what's the one that the hunter has? Wing clip. Is that the one?
Right, yeah, there's a wing clip.
And then the second one, the one where you hit with the sword. Anyways, if you hit those, it takes them out of auto shot. And so they're sitting there dancing back and forth, waiting for somebody to come close. And so that's the problem I was having. So I think it wasn't even so much as dealing with Aprilian and I'm dealing with the hunter and the warlock. It's also had to do with which screen they were on, which computer, because you know, I have the three monitors and I'm used to having my main person in the middle monitor and having the backup people on the other side. And don't know, all of a sudden I wanted to lead with Aprillian because I find that I identify with her. So I had her in the front, which I really should just have her on follow and just have the other two fighting. But anyways, we decided to go, or we, I decided to take them into Burning Steps to practice and to get closer to Sunken Temple, because I was planning on doing Sunken Temple on Thursday night. And, oh, I don't know, did I mention this? I haven't mentioned this yet. My husband was listening to the podcast, I think Tuesday, and he sent me a text message saying, you can go to Sunken Temple on Thursday. Because last week I mentioned that I wanted to go to Sunken Temple. So I guess that's an...
How nice.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to communicate with your husband. So if you, wives, if you want to do
for
something...
For a podcast.
Yeah, if you want to do something special, put together a podcast, get your husband to listen to it, and then maybe he'll let you do it. But we both had the day off, and so he was very nice to let me spend some time. And so that was kind of neat, getting that text message. So we went to Burning Quest, the Burning Steps, and that was kind of fun. And the neat thing was I had real fire there to skin, so I felt better. And I was also trying to get some of those whelplings. They have the dragon whelplings are out in... the Burning Steps, the same ones that's in Badlands. And I was thinking maybe if I could...
Yep.
I was trying to get one of those little miniature pets. It's been a while since I've found...
Do they drop off those ones?
I don't know. I just figured they dropped off all of them. I have to look that up.
Not sure about that.
Just the Badlands?
If you are out there killing dragons, you want to kill the dragons out there to get the black dragon scales, because warlocks need them for the mount quest.
Oh, yeah.
If you're out there killing dragons and skinning them.
Yeah, I killed a couple of those.
I'm not sure what you're doing, but I've just trying to melee stuff with my hunter and you know, hit the mob with Raptor Strike.
Okay. Well, what I was doing is I'd be auto-shooting, and then I'd hit something, I'd hit the up-close thing, and it would rock back and forth. So you're actually playing right now? In the middle of recording the podcast? Oh, okay, so I don't know what Acheo's doing, or if I should edit this out.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I'm not pushing push to talk. We should explain, we're actually recording a different way this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually using Ventrilo rather than Skype as a test.
Yeah.
So what was the last thing you heard me say, Aprillian, as I was talking to myself?
You said something about Raptor Strike.
Right. So the way that and I'm pretty sure this actually got changed because it definitely wasn't always this way. But if you're doing a ranged attack and you know, pull aggro and the mob, you know, comes within melee range. And you start doing, you know, a Raptor Strike or a wing clip. As soon as you, the idea of a wing clip is basically to slow them down. So you do a wing clip, and then you got a chance to move away and, you know, hit them with a concussive shot, something else to actually daze them and keep range distance. The hunter should start auto shooting again.
No, this is when the target is away. The target hasn't come up close. The target's away, and you hit wing clip, and it says...
Oh, it says, okay.
You know, you're out of range.
Yep.
But then it keeps doing that.
Right.
Until you hit it.
It keeps doing it. Right, I'm with you.
Yeah, because it thinks that somebody's...
Yeah, that'd be bad. Yeah. Yep. Don't do that.
No. And so when I'm trying to go back and forth,
I
hit the wrong button, all of a sudden I look over, and one of my hunters just standing there rocking back and forth. And, you know, in those times, you want to reach out and slap them.
In a fetal position.
But you can't. So, yeah. But I'm getting the hang of it. So, we practiced, and that was pretty good. Thursday, Wednesday, I forgot what I was doing. I did a bunch of AH stuff, I think. And, Glanther, and I hate to even say this, but he gave me some of his gold because he's taking a break. And, you know, why leave it there to waste? So I brought some more.
Another break?
Yeah. Well, you know, he has a busy schedule, and he's doing a lot of wonderful things. So, and hopefully he'll remember us and send us a segment every once in a while. So,
I hope so.
I managed to level up to 375 on Aprillion on tailoring, and I was very excited about it, and then I realized I couldn't make an imbued Netherweave bag a Primal Mooncloth bag. That's what I was going for. I couldn't make the Primal Mooncloth bag because I didn't have enough Primal Mooncloth.
That's not going to help. No.
Because Primal Mooncloth takes, well, we're going to get into this after this. So anyways, Thursday, went to Sunken Temple with Jekyll. Thank you very much, Ashayo. And, you know, after a bunch of crazy stuff and me almost dying, but Jekyll healing everybody. This was with Real Fire, Aprillion, and Aunt Rilia. We managed to get the feathers. I really love Sunken Temple, though. I like the variety of mobs in the hallway and all the little mini bosses off the side, and you know, it's neat.
Mm.
But it's easy to get lost in.
It's a great instance if you actually know it enough not to get lost.
Well, I would really like to run it a few more times just to get to know everything. The first time I ran it on Aunt Rilia way back in the day, pre-Burning Crusade, somebody was with me who, you know, go here, go there, do that. And that was kind of neat, especially when you got down to the middle.
Yeah.
And something raises up, and I mean, it's a beautiful instance.
Yeah, I hate doing an instance where it's just like, you know, you don't get explained what's going on.
Well, that brings up a good question. I mean, a good topic to talk about. Sometimes I think it's almost too much in the game. If you actually got to know everything, I think you'd never, you know. There's a lot in there. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. There's so much to World of Warcraft now. I'm wondering if...
And they just keep adding more.
Right. And I wonder if it's... I would love to do... And I might try to do this. I would love to do an instance tour. You know, maybe take a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yep.
It could be
we
50,
keep talking so, about doing that in the guild.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just start at... Start at RFC and hit one right after, you know, one right after the other. It'd be kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, so we completed the quest, and I got my trinket. It's called the Abyss Shard. In fact, the end of that quest line, when you get that, there's several choices, and they're all really good. There's a nice blue chess piece, and there was another thing, I forgot what it was, but they were all really good pieces and upgrades to whatever I had.
Yeah.
But I wanted the Abyss Shard.
I remember looking at that, I remember looking at all the other things and thinking, well, you know, any other bit of gear that you get is going to become obsolete, whereas this trinket is kind of unique and, it's going to be of use at any level. You know, even at level 70, you got no soul shards, and you want to do a summon. It's very handy.
Yep. So I got it. Thank you. So Friday morning, I made my first Primal Mooncloth bag. It's neat the way you can get that satisfying feeling when you make something in World of Warcraft. in the How I Wow podcast, I talked about how when I came from Second Life and I came over here, I didn't think that you could make things, and I'm doing air quotes. And yes, you don't get to craft things like you did in Second Life, where you could make something that was uniquely yours and put it together. And but I got great satisfaction out of making my first Primal Moon cloth bag. And I looked at it, and it was beautiful. The thing about Primal Moon cloth is you have to wait 4 days to make one. So think about this. It takes eight Primal Moon cloth. So that's a month. That's 32 days to make it. And each...
Unless you specialize in it.
Right. And I don't think I can't do that yet. I think you have to.
No, it's level 60, isn't it?
60, yeah.
We decided it was 60.
Yeah.
Or maybe 62.
So, but here's the thing. Now I'm going to get into some math. So anybody out there who doesn't like math, you can fast forward through this part. So it takes 8 Primal Moon cloths to make it, and 4 netherweb. For netherweb silk?
Yeah, the spider silk.
Spider silk, right. And if you were to sell one, a Primal Moon cloth bag, you'd probably have to, you could sell it between $4 and $4.75. I've seen it on the auction house. But Primal Moon cloth itself takes a bolt of imbued netherweave, 1 primal water, and 1 primal life. Now, Primal Mooncloth sells right now, at the time that I checked this out, for 47 gold. Primal Water was 22 gold, and Primal Life was 39 gold. So that's 39 gold right there. And then, to make the bolt of imbued netherweave, you're talking about 3 bolts of netherweave and 2 arcane dust. 1 stack of netherweave at that time was between 2.5 to 6 gold, depending on whether you were getting it from the Alliance or the Horde side. And the arcane dust is just a little under 1 gold piece. So we're talking another 4-6 gold. So that's about 44 to 45 gold. So I could either wait 4 days and get it for 44 gold, or I could buy it for 47 gold. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but you're not taking the specialization. You're not taking the specialization into account.
Right. Well, I'm just talking about for me right now.
So yeah, I mean,
for somebody who's specializing, they could make 2 primal moon cloth at one time.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's
with the same mats. You don't need double the mats.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. You get two.
Same amount of mats. You get 2 cloth.
Right.
Rather than just 1 cloth.
Yeah, but for me right now, I think that I might even be buying. So I ended up buying some Primal Moon cloth. I haven't gotten up enough yet to make another moon cloth bag. But I actually found some Primal Moon cloth on the Alliance side.
Sure, all the healers are currently screaming at you, saying, "No, I need the Primal Moon cloth to make my the healing set, the tailing healing set.
Oh my God.
Don't waste it on bags."
On bags. I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
the Primal Moon cloth's primary purpose isn't actually for making bags.
Oh, I did not know that.
have a look at the tailoring on WoWWiki and what it's actually used in. So you got level 70s that are constantly looking for people that have cooldowns up on their primal moon cloth, primal shadow cloth, etc. Because you need a hell of a lot of all those cloths to make your relevant either DPS or healing sets.
Wow, I feel a little guilty now.
It's your cloth. You can do what you want with it.
Well, yeah. Oh, but I actually found some on the Alliance Auction House for, I think it went, there was a bidding undercutting war. I guess a reverse bidding. Have you seen this when somebody puts a bunch of stuff up for one price and then
the other person undercuts?
Just, and,
yeah.
Yeah. And so at this,
it, I mean, auctioneer does that by default, doesn't it? I mean, auctioneer by default does a 5% undercut, I think. So.
Right.
You know, you get a bunch of people using auctioneer, then the price is just going to go down and down and down.
Yeah, and so I managed to find some for as low as 42, and I got a couple on that. And that brings me to a comment. I'm going to skip ahead because we got a comment on that. Or do you think I should wait for the email section?
Oh, you could mix it up and be radical and do it here.
So on our website,
while you're deciding that, I just looked it up. The primal mooncloth robe takes 14 primal mooncloths. The belt takes 4, and the shoulders take 8. So that's people looking for 26 primal mooncloths.
Wow, that's a lot of mooncloths.
Yep.
So, you know, you've heard me rant about the whole alliance to auction house, neutral auction house thing. Well, somebody, Zepper, made a comment on the website, and that's Control-Alt-Wow at controlaltwow.com. Will take you to our website, but also there's a link there to the feed, and then the feed will take you to where you can comment. And you can also comment on iTunes, and you can comment on our web blog as well. This comment was on the podcast site, and it was from Zeppa. And Zeppa says, enjoy the podcast. I must admit, I was excited to find out Osheo was co-hosting a podcast. I was disappointed when his dual boxing tips on the instant stopped. Those were very good, by the way. I must share my opinion on something Aprilian has mentioned a few times in the last few shows. If you put something on the auction house, someone cannot steal that item by buying it. They are buying an item that you are selling. If you're going to use the neutral auction house as your way to make money by sending faction pets back and forth and selling them, I don't think you should really complain when someone else uses the neutral auction house to make some gold. The fact that the person has returned your item is kind of them, I suppose, but I don't feel it is necessary. Also, you have been taught this lesson on more than one occasion and have yet to learn from experience. The definition of insanity...
I like this bit.
Yes, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you stick your head in a fire and your hand in a fire, you get burnt. Don't stick your hand in the fire again because you think you should be able to. Keep up the great work on your podcast. Exactly. Zephyr, thank you very, very much. You made some very good comments, some very good points. And yes, I have to admit that I have, it is insane that I've been complaining about it, and I should just feel good that the person returned the items. And I guess you have a valid point. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in two minds about it. I mean, I don't, you're as crazy as they come. I'm in two minds about it because I've used the neutral auction house to transfer stuff both ways, and it's very rarely to actually profit to make money. It's more that I'm looking to buy something and I just couldn't buy it on one or the other, and so it was the only way to actually to get something. So I think I feel that Blizzard should be providing some sort of sanction method for actually getting the stuff across if you're wanting to actually buy stuff. You know, I mean, maybe the neutral auction house should actually let you search and bid on stuff that's in the actual alliance auction house. But you pay a higher percentage or something,
or maybe every once in a while it costs you more. Well, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I think because of the lore, it wouldn't fit. But and I actually don't mention this to Kotaka Misha, but I actually think it gives it some kind of a flavor. The fact that I know what I'm doing, I can risk and lose it. I know I complain about it, but it does actually make it
spices it. Yes, it spices you up. It makes it a bit more exciting for you.
Yeah, it's like gun running or doing something, trying to get Cuban cigars.
That's true. Yeah,
it
might be a bit boring if it was easy.
Right. Yeah. And I know when I do it,
I'm kind of doing a slash who in the zones to see if there's any low level characters and
areas being, they
being ready
be.
To do my search and my bid. I've actually when I was in Winter Spring, it's like I've got this level 2, I don't even know what level she is, maybe level 2 alt that sits out in the cave trying to buy fel cloth. And I've actually, when I've been logged in on her, I've been whispered from a few people going, hello. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just waiting by this vendor. And they go, you need the auction house? And I'm like, okay. So what they're doing the same thing. They're actually looking for low levels in Winter Spring. Going, you're not going to bid on my crap, are you, dude?
That's funny. Yeah.
But you're right. It adds a bit more spice to it, but it's painful when you lose it to somebody looking out for it as well.
Yeah, I've actually started putting it for higher price, and I did that a couple of times, and I'm gonna pull some screenshots and try to put them in the show notes. And the cut that Blizzard takes is really very painful. Almost, out of,
I did something
for 100 gold. No, I did something for 225 gold because I wanted to get that 42 price on the Primal Mooncloth. And when I got 195 gold, it was very, very painful. which actually took away any profit I made from getting the 42 gold. But you live and you learn.
Well, generally, I'm trying to transfer stuff from Alliance to Horde, and I don't have any reason to put the auctions up at a higher price on the Alliance, and it's basically transferring gold across to my Alliance team, which I'm never going to do anything with. I don't want to have to send money over to it, so that's why I try and bid place them up low.
Right. So
I'm not trying to make a profit on my Alliance team.
Same here. I just want to get the stuff over. Okay, so then what else? Oh, so I've been saving up to make another bag, but maybe I'll stop. I got a lot more stuff to get through, so I'm going to plow through some of this stuff. I triple boxed with a guildie named Golfin. She's a level 61 mage. And I tell you, I am loving grouping with a mage, because there's nothing like the food and water and portals. I mean, gosh, is there anything a mage can't do? Oh yeah, stay alive.
Tank.
So we tried Rampart with me and the Aprilian at level 58, Aunt Really at level 63, and Rofire at level 60. We died a lot. Oh, but on a good note, I now know the fastest path back from the graveyard too. The entrance of the instant.
Good. That'll come in handy. So, can I ask, who was the healer? And who was the tank? It sounds like you went in there with four DPS.
Yeah. It wasn't a pretty
yeah.
And I learned that when you sheep...
That would have been fun.
When you sheep one mob, the other mobs tend to get upset about it.
Yeah, they notice that.
Yes, I thought it was going to be like the rogue, when the rogue goes in and saps somebody, and then you know, everybody else is like, oh, la la. Oh, look at Joe over there. He looks a little bit weak. But I don't know what
that looks a bit wonky.
Yes, I don't know what that's about. When you sheep, they immediately start coming. We never even got past those first three guys on the bridge. Right at the door of the entrance. And after the second time when we wiped, I remembered, oh, you know what? If we back up when we start to die, we can go back out the instance and we won't actually die. We'll just drop the aggro. But that was kind of late. So we ended up going to BRD, Black Rock Depth, which totally confuses me. I know there's something called Black Rock Spire, and I'm reading up on it. I'm trying to get a grasp on it. We went to the part where you go to the Hall of Black Hand, but you first have to go through these level 59, 58 mobs. And I love the whole Black Rock Mountain. I love the feel of it. I love walking up that ramp. I love the when you get up into the entrance and there's that dragon flying around outside the balcony. I just think that the whole feel of it is that you're inside this camp that you're not supposed to be and you're sneaking in to kill. I mean, just it feels like you're, you know, it just really feels good.
Sounds like you're a dwarf at heart.
And so we got in and we cleared a couple of mobs and it was really neat, but then it was time to go. So we had to leave. And I left Aurelia and Realfire right there. And I think Aprilian had to run around and do some stuff. I think she went to check her mailbox and make stuff. Saturday was a really weird day for me. I got up and I had to work, but I got up in the morning. And I don't know if anyone's ever had this kind of feeling, but I needed to be in the WoW universe. Do you ever have one of those?
All the time.
Yeah, I just needed to be in WoW. And even when I wasn't in the game, I was on my iPhone reading the forum web pages, or I was searching WoW Wiki, and I just really felt connected. And I was at work, and I couldn't triple box, and I know what I did. I had taken on Friday night, Saturday morning, I decided that I wanted to triple box Aurelia and Aprilia and Realfire in an instance that we could handle. And so we all hearthed back to Shat, and I went to look for an instance that would be below BRD, but above, like, Moradon. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Sunken Temple.
Yeah, above Sunken Temple. I wanted above Sunken Temple because I don't think anybody gets XP from Sunken Temple anymore than my group. So I wanted above.
Oh, so you want to do an instance and you want to get XP from it. Jeez, you're asking for a bit much, aren't you?
So we ended up going back to BRD. And
no.
What?
Yeah, so BRD is down the chain. It's way down the bottom. It sounds like you were going into Black Rock Spire.
Oh.
Not Black Rock Depths. Black Rock Depths has mobs that are like, you know, high 40s, low 50s.
Really?
I mean, that would be perfect for you.
How do you get to that?
And it's a massive instance.
Oh. Okay, so I need to go.
You need to go looking. You need to go hunting.
Yeah.
I'll show you after we finish recording if you like.
Okay. So what I ended up doing was, since Aprilian had to, I wanted to keep her there, and I didn't want to go anywhere else to level, and she was, I wanted to get her to 59, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But so I left Aurelia and Realfire by the entrance, and I just logged on Aprillion while I was at work, or while I was on my break at work, and I killed the mobs right outside the instance there in the hallway. You know, there's a bunch of guys guarding some stuff on the way in, and then there's this elite guy that you get some kind of quest from, and Aprillion just walked back in.
The fire dude?
No.
Was he fiery? No.
No, he wasn't fiery.
Okay. They were all humans? Were they orcs or dwarves?
They were all orcs.
Okay, yeah, you're upstairs. You need to be going downstairs.
Okay, so she just walked back and forth and killed these guys over and over again until she dinged 59. And you know why she wanted to ding 59? She wants to do PvP.
I give up.
She wants to do PvP.
Ah, of course.
You know, I hear from everybody, you should wait till you're in your 9 before you go into PvP. I have a feeling you should also wait until you're a little bit better geared and more knowledgeable. But so, Aprillion went to AV.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. And I had so much fun. And Horde won. I don't think it was thanks to me, but I love AV. I love all the different things you can do there. And I know once you get in there, you do feel like you're out of bounds or out of control or don't really know where to go. But I just love going in there and killing. And well, my goal is, of course, to get some more honor. And I actually messed up because I want to get honor with I want to get rep with Thunderbluff, and I guess there's another battlegrounds that you do that with. Do you know?
No good asking me about battlegrounds.
Okay.
I don't remember the last time I PvP.
But I like it, and it was fun. The only thing was that I realized that the first thing I should do when I first go is to go and get that trinket that lets me recall back to the main base. But you have to go through a cave, and you have to fight all these... what are those candle guys called? You know, the guys that go, you take no candle in the starting area.
You know, take candle.
Anyway, there's a bunch of those guys without the candles, but they're in their higher level and tougher in this ice cave.
Trogs.
Trogs. Yeah, that's what they are. So, anyways, that's what I did Sunday night, and it was a lot of fun. And I'd love to hear from anybody else who's going into AV at level 59 with a warlock. The neat kind of thing is when you die, you do come, you go back to the graveyard and you get resurrected with your whatever demon you already have. And I really have to look it up and figure out which kind of demon I need to have. You know, I'm sure probably a succubus rather than my fell hunter, but I just love my fell hunter. And so, that's what I've been doing. And we're going to take a break.
Cool. You've had a very full week.
Yes, it was lots of fun. And we'll be back with some email.
What are we if not slaves to this torment?
Alrighty, and we got another email from Molson. Hello, Aprillion and Ashayo. I enjoyed episode 64 and had a question for you both. When managing all of your alts, do you find it easier or difficult to earn gold? I find that when I'm playing alts, I often have to supplement their income with gold from my main. Do you find yourselves always going back to your main to farm or to do dailies for your alts, or your alts self-sufficient? Thanks and keep up the great work, Molson. P.S. Great job on the How I Wow podcast, Aprillion.
Thank you, Molson.
Shucks. I thought you were going to say something else then.
I was, but I misclicked. So here we go. Yeah. So thanks, Molson. That was that's a good question, and I mean it's always hard managing gold when you have a bunch of alts and. I don't have any level 70 alt, so I can't actually farm gold. But I think Ashayo does.
Yeah, so I mean, you when you say it's hard managing gold when you've got a bunch of alts, what you really mean to say is it's hard to manage gold when you've got a lot of alts and you don't have a level 70. Because once you've got a 70 and you start doing, I'm not spending all my time on dailies by any means. I mean, I haven't done dailies at all this week. But, just the ability to do dailies and the gear and the gold you get from them is, far outweighs the effort that you put into, working the auction house as a low-level alt or trying to make a few silver profit on gear that you're making to level your professions. I don't think I've made any money on any of my professions for a long time. It is basically that my alts are, I mean, they're almost self-sufficient in the money that they get from doing quests. But when it comes to that every few levels where you go, okay, well, it's probably about time I got a gear upgrade, or I've run some instances and haven't got a decent weapon, I should buy a new weapon. It's then that I'm transferring gold from my main back to my alts. I just accept that as part of the game, that if you've got a high level character, they're basically going to be raking in the gold, and it's actually easier to make gold that way than it is to try and make a profit on selling blacksmithing stuff or selling tailoring stuff.
Yeah, but until you get up to that level, doing those things and doing the auction house is probably your only way out.
Right. Yes. I mean, your best bet as you're leveling your first until you've got a 70 is to actually pick a. There are things from each profession that do sell well, and bid on low price materials that you need to make that, and watch the market and sell them. But in terms of, am I alt self-sufficient? Well, no, not really. It's kind of hard for me to tell, because I don't actually use the auction house on any of my characters that I'm leveling. All my selling and auction housing is done on my bank alts. So, at the end of a questing session, rather than heading to the auction house or whatever, I just head to a mailbox, and everything that's in my bags that it's bind on equip, I send off to a bank alt, and a couple of times a week, either stick those up on the auction house or in the case of all the 68 gear that I was getting from doing dailies that I know is just flooded the market and aren't going to sell, just accumulate them all up into lots of 12 that fit into mail items and get them disenchanted.
Well, from someone without a sugar daddy, higher level alt, I can say that it does take a little bit of juggling, and it takes a little bit of monitoring, and you will need a bank alt. You don't want to keep running back to the auction house or to one of the main cities. You want to use your mailbox, or in my case, I make very good use of, I have a guild, and I use the guild bank to transfer stuff back and forth. That works pretty well. I do find that with many alts that I am storing or holding on to more things than I would do if I didn't have the alt. And so sometimes I'm probably not relinquishing as much and getting as much money out of it, the stuff, as I could, because I like to hold on the stuff to use. That way I don't have to buy from the auction house to make stuff. There are a few things, and maybe I'll put a note in the show notes, a list in the show notes. There's the hauberk, the green hauberk chest piece that the blacksmith make that helped me get up a little bit of gold. There was the gem-studded belt that I used to make regularly that garnered some gold. And right now, or previously, one of my biggest sellers was the Arcanite Rod, which, you know, one alt would make the Arcanite Bar and the other alt would make the Rod. And that was able to get some money. I try to keep 1,000 gold on hand because, you know, that's what you're going to need when you get to level 60 and you want to get a riding mount. And I find that, you know, if I pay attention to the auction house, put stuff up, you'd be amazed at what will sell. Sometimes you'll think you have some enchanting, some stuff you got from Ding that won't sell, or some herbs that you've been collecting, you have stockpiled. Just, you know, do a glance on the AH and, you know, you'll be surprised. Oh, you know what I forgot? I'm going to...
What's that?
One thing I forgot to mention, and I should have put it in the show notes because that would have helped me remember it, is the Trade Chat channel. Trade is sometimes annoying to watch, and you find that you're not, you know, that there's more spam than anything else. And but Sunday, two good things happened from watching Trade Channel. I was able to buy something. I can't remember what it was, but it was a good price. And the other thing was somebody gave me a guild.
What?
Yeah, somebody said giving away a free guild. And I thought, okay, I'll take it. And, you know, they gave it to one of my lower alts, and I have a new guild.
Did they have any vaults?
No, they didn't have any vaults. They had this horrendous, awful, awful tabard. It's like blue on the outline. It's got this horrible bright red in the middle, and it's just really horrible. But for 100 gold, I bought a bank vault tab. Of course, I made sure there was nobody else, and it was like 4 other people in the guild. So obviously this person went around and begged people, sign my guild charter, here's 50 silver, here's a gold, and then decided he didn't want to have a guild anymore. Or maybe he joined another guild or whatever. So for 100, I was on my private little guild that I already had, We Live to Serve, I had 2 tabs. It's 100 gold for the first tab, 250 for the second tab. And I was almost thinking about buying another tab for 500 gold. But now with this new guild, I bought another tab for 100 gold, which gave me 98 more slots. I know, it sounds ridiculous. Another guild. Actually, somebody was selling a guild with a tab and everything for 2,500 gold a few days back. Did you see that? There was an article?
No.
Okay. And I just thought that was kind of funny that you could sell a guild. So somebody gave me a guild. And I think it'll help me because it'll give me more space for less than 400 gold. I got 96 slots, or is it 98 slots. The other thing is that now I'll have a better way of transferring stuff between the 3 accounts, because guild tabs allow you for instantaneous transfer. What you put in one guild tab, if somebody else is looking at it in another city, it's there immediately. So it's almost like having a little mini teleporter.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, so I think we've gone on long enough, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
So, anyway, so this closing out episode 65. Our subject for next week. I had a subject. So, just to let you know, if you don't have it already, our Gmail account, our email account is controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. Or you can go to our website at controlaltwow.com. And, for next week, we're going to talk about add-ons that are beneficial to your alts, to having alts. So any suggestions that you have for add-ons, one of the ones that we're going to look at and work on together is ARC Inventory. That's one that we recently became aware of, and I'm finding it helpful, aren't you?
Yes and no. I'm finding it helpful, but I'm finding it hindering as well, so we'll talk about that.
Right. So, and if you have any add-ons that you think would be suitable or enhance the whole Alt experience, please send them to our email address, and we'll talk about it next week. So for Control-Alt-Wow, this is Aprilian saying, for the Horde.
And this is Ashaya, for the Horde.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.